धनं न जनं न सुन्दरी कवितां वा जगदीश कामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरे भवताद् भक्ति अहि इति त्वयि। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओ लॉर्ड एंड सोल ऑफ द यूनिवर्स, माइन इज नो प्रेयर फॉर वेल्थ और रेटिन्यू, द प्ले थिंग्स ऑफ लास्ट और द टॉयज ऑफ फेम, एज मेनी टाइम्स एज आई मे बी रिबोर्न, ग्रांट मी ओ लॉर्ड ए स्टेडफास्ट लव फॉर दी। पीस पीस पीस। भक्ति एफोरिज्म्स ऑफ नारद। वी आर डिस्कसिंग पराभक्ति, सुप्रीम डिवोशन। अकॉर्डिंग टू नारद, दिस सुप्रीम डिवोशन इज नॉट ए पैथ। एज वी नो देर आर फोर पैथ्स, पैथ ऑफ एक्शन, पैथ ऑफ नॉलेज, path of meditation or concentration, and path of love or path of bhakti. Narada says this supreme bhakti, para bhakti, is the goal. Love is God, God is love. So this supreme bhakti is its own result. Now this supreme bhakti is very difficult to attain. The dualistic school of Vedanta elaborated this supreme bhakti. First, Swami, why should I practice bhakti? What shall I gain from this type of parabhakti? They say, the teachers of Vedanta say, Kleshagni, another name of parabhakti is Kleshagni, means it destroys afflictions of the soul. What are the afflictions? Avidya, Asmita, Raga, Desha, Avinivesha, Pancha Klesha. Patanjali says ignorance is the first affliction. Asmita, ego. Raga, attachment. Desha, hatred, aversion. Avinivesha, fear. These afflictions will be removed by devotion. Second, Shubhada, bhakti, will bring all auspicious things to you. If you love God, God will make everything favorable for you. He will supply what you need. So it is Shubhada. Shubha means good, auspicious. So Shubha, auspiciousness. So God will give everything to you which you need. The third is called Moksha Loghuta Krit. It will release you from all types of bondage. They cite an example. If the queen moves from one place to the other, her maids follow the queen. The maids are always afraid that, you know, if they do anything, if they do not obey the queen properly, they will be discharged, they will be fired by the queen. So all maids follow the queen with fear. So when a person attains the supreme bhakti, parabhakti, supreme love, bhukti, mukti, liberation, and bhukti means the all types of worldly attainments will follow you. Well, please don't be mad at us. Please take us, you know, this liberation will be very easy. The next is the fourth. Is sudurlabha. Sudurlabha. It is very difficult to, it is rare. Liberation is available. But bhakti is very difficult to achieve, because God is ready to give us liberation, because then He will not be tied with any kind of bondage. But if He gives you bhakti, He will be bound by you. Through the cord of love, a devotee can bind God. And God had to move with the devotee to give him all types of protection. So it is the headache of God to give you devotion. He will have to protect you all the time. But if He gives you liberation, now you see your own path. I will not have to do anything for you. You are free. You do not depend on me. You depend on your own self, on your own Atman. So you take care of yourself. So God is ready to give you liberation, but not devotion. Then the fifth part of that supreme love is Sandra Nanda Vishishatma. When a person attains this supreme devotion or supreme love, he achieves maximum bliss one can imagine in this world. Maximum bliss, which is the goal of human life. We want joy, bliss. And the sixth aspect of that supreme love is Bhagavad Akarshani. All the time you will feel somebody is attracting you. You feel some kind of attraction. Swami, what shall I gain if somebody attracts me? If God attracts you, it means that your mind is always towards the source of bliss, towards the Creator. It is difficult to explain this akarshan, this attraction. In the Bhagavatam, we find a beautiful verse. Before Rasa Leela, Shuka says, Bhagavan Pitaratrihi Sharadat Fulla Mallika Viksharantam Manashakri Yogamayam Upashrita. Seeing that full moon in autumn, Krishna attracted the minds of the gopis. They could not resist that attraction. And that attraction helped them to realize their beloved, to get their beloved closely. So if you want to love your beloved, if you want to him completely, wholly, you will have to get the attraction from him. As Sri Ramakrishna said, if the needle is full of mud, and here is a powerful magnet, this magnet cannot attract the needle. If the needle is washed away, is clean, this magnet will attract in no time. So when a devotee's mind is cleaned by spiritual disciplines, his mind is attracted by God in no time. This is called Bhagavat Akarshani. You will feel good if you know that your beloved wants you. He also, as you love God, God also loves you. As Sri Ramakrishna said, if you go one step toward God, He will come 10 steps toward you. He is so merciful, so gracious. So these are the various aspects of bhakti. If you practice bhakti, you will get all these things. Aphorism number 28. Tasya jnanameva sadhanam iti eke. Some are of opinion that knowledge is the means to attain bhakti. Narada says, it is not in Narada's view. Some teachers of Vedanta say that if you do not know a person, how can you love him? You cannot throw love on the standing on the sidewalk to a stranger. You must know that person. How What is he? How is he? Who is he? What does he do? You must know that person, his ins and outs. Then you can love him. So knowledge is the primary thing. You see, always remember, the other schools are waiting to attack Narada. Because you say devotion is supreme, they will say, my knowledge is supreme. Without knowing a person, how can you love? Narada will reply. Knowledge is necessary. I remember in our training center, we had to give examination on various subjects, on scripture, Vedanta, Sankhya, Sanskrit grammar, Ramakrishna, Vivekananda literature. You know, they will give a series of lectures on a particular book, and then when that is ended, then you will have to sit for an examination. They will write, give you some critical questions about, you know, about the scripture. So I remember it was the great master, examination on Sri Ramakrishna, the great master, that big volume. So I went to our teacher and I told him, I am not going to give the examination. Why? Well, I have never given examination on my own life, and I am going to give examination on the life of Sri Ramakrishna. It is better not to sit for examination. He said, well, you see, you must know who is Ramakrishna and how is he and what type of person he is. You must know him. I said, well, I know him means that not necessarily I have to sit for examination. Then he goes, oh, no, no, please sit down. No, if you, you know, he knew me very well. So he said, that if you go to the class, that will do. That if you do not sit for examination, otherwise we'll want exemption, you know. Sometimes, you know, all boys will stand up and will give a talk, what he understood on that topic. It is not a very hard and fast examination. It is a simple examination. So anyhow, so you must know him before you love a person. Krishna says, four types of people seek God. First, artha, afflicted person, those who are suffering terribly, they seek God. Oh God, please, you know, cure my disease or help me or solve my problem. This way, they pray to God. The second type of person, jiggasu. An inquiry came into my mind. Who is God? What is God? What is the goal of human life? Where do I come from? Where shall I go? A lot of questions come inside the mind. To fulfill those questions, we pray to God, Lord, you make me understand what are these things. The third type of people seek God, artharthi. They seek worldly objects. Lord, give me more money, go more prestige, more position, or make me a senator, or give me this, give me that. This is called shakam bhakta. They pray, worship God to fulfill their desires. And the fourth kind of devotee is jnani. Jnani. Who is jnani? Bhagavat tattvavit, atma tattvavit, jnani. He who knows the Atman, he who knows God, he loves God. Knows means he may not be perfect, he may not be illumined, but his mind, 60-70% mind is in God. He heard from the teacher, he read from the scripture that there is God, and he had pretty good knowledge about God also. So he can't help without loving him. So among these four people, jnani is supreme. Eko bhakti visishyati. His devotion is very pure and one-pointed. Krishna mentioned in the Gita. Jnani. Vaisya Jnanameva Sadhanam Iti Eki. Knowledge is the means to attain bhakti. As we read in the Bible, thou shalt know the truth, and truth shall make you free. Buddha also mentioned in his teachings, right understanding, the first of his eightfold noble path. And the Jainas include right knowledge in their Ratnatraya, or triple panacea for the cure of samsara. Every system of religion insists upon some sort of scriptural study under some teacher, even to love God or to practice virtue. Some kind of previous thought and knowledge is essential. Some preliminary knowledge is necessary to attain bhakti, but Sri Ramakrishna contradicted this school. They say that without reading the books, you cannot know God. Sri Ramakrishna said, what do you mean? Is the scripture first or God first? God first, scripture afterwards. First know God. God will teach you everything. He demonstrated that thing into the modern world, that without going through the scriptures, one can realize God. And that he did through his disciple, Latu also. Latu Maharaj, Swami Adbhutananda. The glowing example. That without reading any books, without having any kind of formal education, a person can realize God. The next aphorism. Anyanno asrayattam iti anni others are of opinion that knowledge and devotion are interdependent. Of course, we know each yoga is interrelated with others. Jnana, karma, bhakti and yoga. If you want to love God, you will have to know Him. If you want to love God, you will have to do something for Him. If you want to love God, you will have to think of Him. You see, all these processes are connected. According to psychology, mind has three functions. Jnana, knowledge, to know. Ichha, will. Kriya, action. Mind has these three functions. Now, thus, if intellect refuses the aid of feeling and will, it remains dry intellectual dogma. If love is unassisted by intellect and will, it may be blind sentimentalism. And if will is not helped by knowledge and love, it remains merely meaningless, aimless activity. In fact, it would also seem impossible for each of the functions to work separately in isolation. Love and knowledge depend on each other. Sri Ramakrishna gave a very beautiful example. Knowledge is just like a man, and love is just like a woman. A man can go up to the parlor, up to the living room, but a woman can go into the inner apartments. In this Through this analogy, Sri Ramakrishna tried to say that devotion is more penetrating. Devotion will take you to the innermost aspect of God. We read from the cloud of unknowing, it is the blind intent stretching towards Him, the true lovely will of the heart which gains the goal. By the least longing, man is led to be the servant of God, not by faultless deductions of dialectics, but by the mysterious logic of the heart. Anyhow, the mystics felt the power of love, power of devotion. They were guided by their hearts, not by the intellect. Sri Ramakrishna gave another analogy. A jnani is selective. He does not eat everything, but a devotee swallows everything. For example, the cow which eats very selective grasses, she gives little milk, but the cow which eats all types of grass gives plenty of milk. So devotee is just like a voracious, that all-eating cow, meaning the cow who eats all types of grass. And a jnani is exclusive, very selected person. So in this respect, Sri Ramakrishna said, bhakti is more powerful. Aphorism number 30, Swayam Swayam Phalarupata iti Brahma Kumara. Brahma Kumara, Kumara means son, Brahma means Brahma. Brahma Kumara means son of Brahma, means Narada. Narada says, bhakti is its own fruit. According to him, bhakti is not a path or discipline. It is not necessary that it should depend on knowledge. Bhakti is the result. I am going to explain to you what does it mean, bhakti is the result. Mukti is also, is not a created thing according to Vedanta philosophy. Mukti, liberation. You are already free. Mukti, liberation cannot be created. Do you know what is the logic? The thing which is created is subject to destruction. There is no exception to this rule. If mukti could be created, then it would be subject to destruction. Then why do we not feel that we are free? Because we are ignorant. Ignorance is the obstacle. Ignorance is the cause of bondage. If you remove the ignorance, you will see that you are already free. That is the position of Vedanta. Now Narada says, bhakti is not a discipline. It does not depend on the knowledge. It itself, its result. Bhakti is always there. As mukti, that liberation, is always inside the heart. It is the Atman itself is free, ever free. So is bhakti. Narada says that bhakti is an eternal principle. Through disciplines, you cannot attain bhakti. But then shall I not practice discipline? Of course, you must practice discipline. Why? To remove your ego, for the purification of the mind. The moment your mind is pure, you will see that precious bhakti, that God will reveal within yourself. It is called prapti. Prapti means one attains which is already attained. Vedanti, the teachers of Vedanta cite the example of the necklace. Your necklace is hidden by your blouse or by your shirt or, you know, but it is not visible. But if you can remove a little bit from your neck, you will find the necklace will come out. So you are not seeing your necklace, so you are crying, you are weeping, you are wailing that I have lost my necklace, but it is all the time there. So is mukti, liberation. It is always there. You will have to remove your five sheaths, then you will see it. One cannot cultivate, Narada says, that bhakti cannot be created. It is an uncreated object. You cannot say object, it is an uncreated principle. Swamiji used to give an example. Ghoshe meje rup ki hoy, adhore bende prem ki hoy. Means, through rubbing, you cannot increase your beauty. Suppose my skin is dark, I take a piece of stone and start to rub to become white, American. It will never be. Same thing, by pressing somebody or grabbing top of somebody or forcing somebody, you cannot establish love. Love, bhakti, is a spontaneous entity. It comes automatically. By forcing, by you see, it is not a material object. It is a divine entity. You know, that you can go to the market and buy something, bhakti cannot be bought. Bhakti cannot be attained through worldly means, that Narada says. We have seen that all the self-effort in the form of spiritual practices holds good only in the realm of avidya or maya. The result of these practices are also within the domain of maya or the realm of causality. These practices cause the destruction of ego or purify the heart. But spiritual experience is not mere destruction of the ego or purity of the heart. It is the eternally perfect nature of the self, revealing itself spontaneously when the obstructing causes are removed. Efforts do not cause this experience because where the experience takes place, one has transcended the law of causation. It is impossible to relate that absolute state to spiritual practices on the links of cause and effect. Bhakti is always there. As Sri Ramakrishna gave an example, that the wind of the grace is always blowing. You will have to unfurl the sail. Then you will catch that wind and your boat will reach the destination. Same thing, the God is showering mercy all the time. You will have to receive it. You will have to prepare yourself to receive that mercy, that devotion, that love. Swayam phalarupata iti brahma kumara. Narada says, bhakti is higher than karma, it is higher than knowledge, it is higher than yoga. The absolute knowledge and that absolute love or devotion are identical. What is God? God is Sat Chit Ananda, existence, knowledge, bliss. These are the three entities of the Godhead. About existence aspect, the devotee and the jnani believe that God exists. The jnani knows God exists, so the devotee. So there is no quarrel in that aspect. About knowledge aspect, jnani knows that God is a conscious principle. A devotee also knows God is a conscious principle because he answers his prayers. Jnani also knows that God is bliss, full of bliss. A devotee also knows God is blissful. So you see, existence or being, knowledge and bliss, in these three aspects, both believe, the devotee as well as jnani believe that all these three things are in God. Then where is the difference? Well, devotee praises the bliss aspect. I want that bliss aspect. And the followers of jnana want the knowledge aspect, consciousness aspect. That is the difference between jnani and bhakti. Swamiji gave a very beautiful illustration. This is the way people quarrel. They are not actually both are same. Devotee will claim a little bit more. They will say, you see, if you fry something with butter, it will be crispy, but it will not be sweet. But after frying, if you soak into syrup, it will be crispy as well as sweet. So, bhakti is higher. It's a matter of experience, you see. A jnani will say, why should I be soaked? I will be soggy. I shall be crispy all through my life, free from attachment. Bhakta will say, devotee will say, oh no, there is a little joy of that sweetness, you see. If you are soaked in your into syrup of devotion, you will be sweet. You will be able to enjoy your life better. Otherwise, dry, jnani, you know, no attachment, nothing of this sort, moving alone, just like a rhinoceros. The next two aphorisms, 31-32. Rajagriho bhojanadishu tathaiva drishtatvat na tena raja paritosha kshudha shantir ba. For it is seen in the case of the king, home and dinner, a man cannot please a king by merely knowing about him and seeing his palace. Nor can a man satisfy his hunger by the mere knowledge and sight of food. Similarly, a man cannot be satisfied by the mere knowledge or perception of God until love comes. The allusion is, once a king lost his little son in the forest, and that son did not know anything about his heritage. That little son was brought up by a hermit. When he grew up, one day the hermit disclosed his heritage, that you are the son of a king, you are a prince. Before that knowledge that he was the prince, but he did not know it. Narada says that his satisfaction was not there, but he was the prince. When the boy who was ignorant of his parentage and who considered himself a mere hermit in the forest, when the boy who was hermit heard of his parentage accidentally, nothing new is produced but he is only reminded of an existing fact. So one is reminded of one's true status when one realizes the higher self. Then Narada says griha, home, house. Suppose you have gone for a pilgrimage and you are out of your home for several months. Time to time you think of your home, that, oh, my sweet home, how comfortable I was. Now I am traveling, I am in a tent, I am in a desert, I am passing through so much difficulties. You see, you are thinking all these things, but it will not give you satisfaction. But you know that you have a home. When you come back to your home, you get that satisfaction. The home continues to be his home, even in his absence. But the distance which obstructed his enjoyment is removed when he comes back. The pleasant experience of his home are clouded by his long absence, but they are again revived as soon as he comes back. Nothing new is produced by his coming back. The third thing Narada mentioned, bhojana, dinner. The dinner does not produce any new satisfaction, but only removes the disturbance caused by hunger. When the uneasiness is removed, the natural satisfaction remains undisturbed. These illustrations show how spiritual practices really work. They result only in removing the obstruction to the natural experience of the self, which is eternal and never produced by any effort on the part of man. Now let us discuss this thing from another standpoint. If you know the king, that does not mean that you are getting his attention or any favor. Suppose you know, you can write a biography of the king of the country, you know his inside, outside, you know his habit, you know what he loves to eat, you know everything about him. That does not mean that he knows you, or he is compassionate to you. That does not mean that, you know, I know so many people. That does not mean those people love me. Do you understand? So a devotee, just try to see this way. We are trying to know God through intellect, through reading the scriptures. And we know so many things about God, his ways. I know so many stories about the devotees who realized God. But that does not mean that God loves me. So mere this type of knowledge will not help. Narada says that love is the main thing. Grace of God is the main thing. Whether God loves you or not, you must feel it from the bottom of your heart. So long you have ego, that love will not come to you. Now, griha. I can tell you, you know, before coming to this country, we had in college, we had to read geography, history, economics, so many things. I knew so much about American geography. I think many Americans did not know the way I knew American geography, American history, some part. Because I had to read in my school, you know, thoroughly, you know, I can tell Rocky Range, you know, Appalachian, the mineral products, agriculture, then all these things I could tell you, you know, I got very high marks in my examination. In that doesn't mean that I have seen America or I know about America. I have theoretical knowledge, plenty of theoretical knowledge. So some people might have theoretical knowledge about God. That doesn't mean he has love for God. Some people take this theoretical knowledge for pastime, for enjoyment, for earning money. Whereas I could get a big job, you know, and can earn a lot of money from my knowledge. You see, people utilize this knowledge for worldly means, for worldly prosperity. That does not mean I love America, or that does not mean I love, you know, America loves me. You see, this is the way Narada described that devotion is something special. You know the White House, I saw the White House. Oh, White House, so many rooms, it is a, you know, the president's chamber, then his round table, this and that. So many things, you can go and know all these things about that house. That does not mean that, you know, that house is yours. Mere knowledge, this type of theoretical knowledge is no good. Narada says, bhojanadishu, bhojana means dinner. Suppose a person knows a lot of recipes, cook about food, but knowing that recipe book will not appease your hunger. So, you may know too many things about God, that does not mean you know God or God knows you. Bhakti shar, the real thing is love. Through discrimination, through this scriptural knowledge, through study, one cannot realize God. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, I need only bhakti. What do I care that how many wealth, how much power God has? If I go to a grog shop, I need one bottle of wine. That is plenty for me to get drunken, to get drunk. What do I care how many gallons and how many tons of liquor that grog shop has? I don't care for that. I have come to enjoy mango. Why should I count the leaves and trees? That is Sri Ramakrishna's way. By hook, by all means, try to see God, try to realize God. Then if necessary, God will tell you everything about His wealth and power. Aphorism number 33. Tasmat saiva grajya mumukshubhi. Therefore, those who seek liberation from worldly bondage must adopt the path of devotion. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, "Dub thou, dive deep into the inner chamber of your heart. Learn how to love God. Try to be acquainted with Jodhu Mallik, that rich man in Calcutta. He will tell you how much bank balance, how much property, how much wealth he has. So first know God. God will tell you everything about him." That is Sri Ramakrishna's way. Straight to God. People become bewildered seeing the garden of the rich man, but very few people love that person. Oh, that man, you know, built this beautiful palace, beautiful garden. Everybody praises his garden, but nobody sees him. He is inside the palace. You will have to go inside and meet him. Then he will tell you about everything, his garden, his palace. He will tell you how he acquired all these things. He will tell you the history of that place. So, by all means, love God and see him in this very life. All right. You can ask me questions.
If God is so ready to give liberation, why does it seem so difficult to get them? Why do we come back life after life for the purpose of obtaining liberation?
Yeah. When you say that word, immediately I remember Sri Ramakrishna's parable. A match box, if the match box is wet, you cannot create fire by scratching, you know, by rubbing that matchstick. Striking that matchstick, you cannot set fire. But if the matchbox is dry and if the matchstick is dry, you can create fire by one strike, by one stroke, you know, you can create fire. Same thing, this knowledge, mukti, liberation, comes like that. Mind is not ready. Mind is not ready. If we are practicing spiritual disciplines just to make ourselves ready, we are not ready. Swami, you know, God out of grace, out of mercy also can give us liberation. He can give you, but you won't be able to hold it. It may take you to another direction, who knows? For example, a 5 years old boy gets a revolver, loaded revolver. Can you trust that boy? Nobody knows what will he do. He may, you know, pull it and he may... Today I read in the newspaper a 14-year-old boy killed his mother. And then he shot himself on his head. I read today in the newspaper. Horrible. Their home, I think several police came and found several guns in their home. Just today's paper, I say. You see, sometimes we feel that, you know, am I not getting some kind of spiritual experience? It is power. Very few people can digest power. From ordinary standpoint, let me tell you one thing. I have seen some people, they cannot digest power. They become so egotistic. When they get a little, you know, this is the mean that they are very small-minded people. Small-minded person, you know, all of a sudden if he gets power, he thinks that I am the supreme, I am like God. He hurts people, he ruins the place because he has that power. Nobody can stop that person because he has that power. And he ruins everything. He brings destruction to the world. There are some people, you know, so much power comes, they can digest it. Their brains are calm, quiet. I have seen in my life, you know, even coming from a very, you know, ordinary family, very little education, very little, all of a sudden, you know, he got power. And when he was in power, he hurt so many people. He ruins that place. Just see, even some worldly power ruined that person, and if that divine power comes, could you imagine what would be the condition of that person? Yama, Niyama is a basic spiritual disciplines of yoga or bhakti, will form your character, will make your base ready. Then you can build a huge building. Nothing will shake you. It is daily spiritual discipline, morning, evening, sit down, 15 minutes will do. Close your eyes, meditate, pray, read a little scripture every day. Try to imbibe some spiritual thoughts. That will make your base ready. When the spiritual experience will come, you will be able to hold it. With a Swami in Vrindavan, Holy Mother's disciple told me, what do you, you know, how do you give classes in America? I said, Maharaj, my teacher told me, Chetananda Advaita Badanay Advaita Bhava. Don't preach too much theoretical side of Vedanta. Show them the practical side, how to practice it. Scripture is full of theory. But only show them how to practice it. So in my lecture and classes, I try to point out that, look, this can be practiced in this way. Why do I tell you so many stories and so many monks, their experiences? That here this person practiced this thing, this, and got this result. You go ahead and try yourself. You see, I was taught that way, and I noticed that it's very effective. Very effective. Otherwise, closing my eyes, I can tell you so many verses of the Upanishad and the Gita that will not help you. So mukti, you know, this power comes, but it takes a little time. But we must be ready for that, you know. Nobody knows when we will get illumination. Nobody can predict. Yes, Mary, what you are asking?
Swami, when you talk about healing the mind waves still, do you equate that with the use of the mantra, or is that beyond the use of the mantra?
Mind wave stops. Well, our experience says that when you repeat mantra, you think of the meaning of the mantra too. Mantra tad artha bhavanam. When you repeat the mantra, name of the Lord, you think of Him. When you think of Him, suppose that day your mind is full of sattva quality. You watch that very moment, your mind simply becomes absorbed with the thought of God. You will find your mantra stopped.
Then there are no waves.
There are no waves. Still, wave is very subtle waves at that time, still is playing. When that form comes, you know, you simply, that luminous, blissful form is in front of you. You are visualizing. You see, when you say Ramakrishna or Jesus, when you see that person, do you say, "Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, Jesus," then you are crazy. If I say, "Oh Mary," I am shouting. The moment you come near me, shall I have to say, "Oh Mary, oh Mary, oh Mary"? I see you. I can talk to you. Why should I call you again? Same thing in spiritual life. When vision comes in deep meditation, mantra automatically stops. Then what happened? Then it goes to, if you are stuck there, you may be stuck. That is also one bondage, one of the obstacles of Nirvikalpa Samadhi. If you get a luminous, beautiful form of my chosen idea, "Lord, I want you, I don't care for anything else," you are stuck. If you want to go further, the transcendental realm, Nirvikalpa Samadhi, you will have to go that form state too, you see, that blissful form, chosen ideal. You will have to transcend that state also, because that also name and form. As you remember, Sri Ramakrishna caught his divine mother and merged into Nirvikalpa Samadhi. It is in the scripture that when you see your chosen ideal, maybe in future I shall give a lecture on that chosen ideal, Ishta Devata, with whom you want to establish a relationship. When that form comes in your mind, hold it. Gradually, you concentrate on the space. That form will merge into the whole space. Then stop thinking. You will find that you are lost. You will have some kind of experience. So mantram has a power. Mantra means sound. That sound just stops all worldly sounds. Spiritual sound stops all worldly sounds. So many things are coming in the mind. And then in a deeper level, in deeper meditation, you will get that blissful experience of the self. Om Asato Ma Satkamaya Tamaso Ma Jyotirkamaya Mrittor Ma Amritam Gamaya Abhir Abhirma Yedhi Rudra Yatte Dakshinam Mukham Tenamam Pahi Nityam Om Shanti 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 Him. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. Light us through and through, and guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace, peace, peace.